things change so quickly. You can't, you know, expect these social networks that we're using now to still be there 5, 10, 15 years from now.
Have you seen the stuff about MySpace TV that's being talked about?
Yeah, MySpace is on a comeback. Justin Timberlake is on board with it, I saw, and, I mean, what's going on?
Yeah, actually, that's a good thing you brought that up, because I forgot about that, Heather. MySpace actually gained 1 million new users in just the past month.
Yep.
So that's really interesting, whatever they're doing.
But here's also another thing, is it's one thing to be the darling, you know, the Google, and I'm not saying that ironically, or the Facebook. It's another thing to think about it as those of us that run smaller sites and have smaller numbers. I would kill for MySpace's numbers. Hmm. Okay, maybe I wouldn't actually kill anybody, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So you let's hire Justin Timberlake and you're set.
Yeah, he's a little out of my budget.
Well, is it, you know, they look at that and they're like, okay, can we make some sort of investment, some sort of concerted effort to turn the ship around? I mean, what was it? It was $580 million, and recently it was like valued at like 20 or something, you know?
Right.
So they're like, okay, you know, let's put a little into it. Let's see if we can shine it up and maybe get it to move a little in the right direction. I mean, you know, it's a long shot, but you're getting beat about the head and face anyway, so
right.
Throw at the wall and see what sticks.
The biggest problem they face is from a branding perspective and the fact that it's old news, right? Mm-hmm. Things come so quickly in this industry and online that it's on to the next thing. Look, we're already talking about Pinterest and everyone jumping on Pinterest. You know, when does MySpace become relevant? When does MySpace become that new shiny object again? That's very difficult. I mean, that's huge. Now, I will say this. We see this in other areas too, though. Fashion, right? Fashion ebbs and flows. You know, we get, you know, the in fashion. And now I think right now we're kind of seeing with the, you know, Mad Men coming back, we're seeing that, you know, 50s kind of style coming back. So it can happen. It just has to, you know, take its evolutionary course, and MySpace just has to stay relevant and hanging on for as long as they can, and they seem to be doing an adequate job of doing that. It's just, what is it going to take to make it that shiny, bright, shiny object again?
Yeah.
They've been advertising and touting that they have more music selection than Spotify.
Yep.
You know, if you figure that, you know, traditional music, the way, you know, the way we knew it is ailing, you know, significantly, and to find, like, true artists that maybe have, I don't know, not to discredit to the bubblegum culture that, you know, reigns all over top 40 or whatnot, but...
Oh, not a fan of the auto-tune?
No. Well, it's a good app. It's fun at parties. But no, aside from that, you know, if you can find some genuine people who are making, like, gritty, you know, instrument-oriented music, and I'm a fan of the, you know, stuff that embraces the technology side out of things, but I think there needs to be a little bit more of a blend. And, you know, some of the stuff, like, you know, some of these guys here that are having some success using, you know, this technology to reach a broader audience, you know, if they could find some way to emulate a similar, like, thing to give people a reason to go and visit, maybe find new artists, experience things in a different way, you know, it might have some traction, you know.
So basically, you're saying a disintermediation, much like it's happening with the publishing industry, but for the music industry.
Yeah, maybe. I just think that, you know, I have some friends that are still in bands. I used to be in a band in a galaxy far, far away. I was a vocalist in, like, a punk ska metal band, if you can imagine that.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, you know, I still have some friends and acquaintances that still play and stuff like that, and I've talked to them at times, and they're like, yeah, we still do stuff there because, you know, we can easily get our tracks in there, and I go, whoa, I haven't even been there, and I can't remember the last time I've been there, but they kind of, like, see the value because they have a product that the space is conducive to a little bit, more so than, say, a Facebook, or none of them are even here. You know, they can't put out their track on Twitter, per se. I mean, they can, but it's a different mechanism, you know?
And I think, you know, if that's what MySpace wants to be, then that's fantastic. And MySpace, and it needs to do that really well. It sticks to that niche. I think the problem you find is these, you know, MySpace, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, you know, they love being that niche, but at the same time, they want to attract that mainstream audience. And, you know, I think the big gripe with the mainstream audience, and no disrespect to artists, but But I think a lot of people believe that the only thing they're going to find on MySpace is prostitutes and artists and music bands. And it's how do you overcome that? How do you overcome that I don't want to say stereotype, but that misconception of what MySpace is to attract the mainstream audience again? Because that's what they want. They want the mainstream audience. And, you know, music can get them there. Don't doubt about it. Music can get them there. Music has a way of spreading like wildfire. It's, you know, how do you convince the mainstream audiences out there that this is a place not just for those types of groups, but for everybody as well?
Well, I think they'd be happy even if, you know, that element could bring even a marginal percentage of the regular Joe over to maybe check in on their friend's band or their whatever. I mean, you know, again, it's you know, the gain that they had is you know, quite impressive. And if it continues, then obviously their whatever time and energy and dollars and cents that they're investing to try to do something with it, you know, maybe going to pay off. But I don't think it'll ever return to, you know, even close to its former glory.
Well, yeah, not the glory days. But it would be interesting if they could start to gain a lot of the user base they lost back. And then wouldn't that be interesting a couple years from now? Then they sell for several hundred million dollars. So, yeah, that would be pretty interesting. So one thing I wanted to get into, we haven't done a social talk since the new Facebook timeline rolled out to everybody. And it's funny, like, I get mixed reactions about it. I have some people that love it. They think it's awesome. And other people hate it. They hate Facebook for never using Facebook again, but then they keep using Facebook. So I'm curious to hear what you guys think about the new timeline. Do you like it, or do you think it's a breach of privacy, like some people are saying?
I'll speak.
I use it, and I hate Facebook, and I'm with one of those people that have said I'm never using Facebook, and I hate it, and I still use it, and it's just one of those things. I do have pages that I manage for people, so I kind of have to use it, but
right.
it's a serious love-hate relationship, and I don't know what to do about it. I like the timeline. I think it's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to the branded pages coming out for pages that are going to use the same concept. I think it's going to be better for branding and things like that than what they have now.
I think for the people that are in the thick of it now, it's definitely that love-hate, even if they're just casual. I do like how you can kind of retroactively, like, you know, like, hey, I found some, you know, photo album from college. Let me, you know, kind of like a scrapbook of your life. I think for the next generation of users that start at whatever age, you know, kind of cataloging, you know, freshman year, sophomore year, I think that's where there'll be a little bit more of a value. Me, personally, I have a tough time seeing the same information. I'm always like, I see stuff on my phone, and then I go to try to find it in my wall, and I can't find it, and there's, you know, the stories versus, you know, at some level, it's become a little bit more cumbersome than I think it should be, and, you know, some of the, what do they call it, the frictionless sharing or whatever, that stuff, I'm like, it skews me out a little bit, but it is what it is.
Have you tried the extension Social Fixer?
No, I haven't.
Try
I haven't heard
it. It'll really give you a better feel for working with Facebook.
Thank you. I hadn't even heard of it.
I will say this. I think from Facebook's perspective, it's brilliant because we just got done talking about data. Now, the generation just growing up now that, you know, will be growing up and signing in, you know, Facebook lasts, let's say, their entire lifetime. Facebook has an entire generation of data from birth to death that they can mine, sell, do whatever the heck they want with. And it's brilliant. And they have it in chronological order. So from Facebook's perspective, I think it's brilliant. Now, from personal standpoint, I'll also say I think it's brilliant. Because I love the fact how you can go through and revisit your own story. Now, you know, here in social media, and especially in business, we all talk about you need to share your story, what's your story, et cetera, et cetera. And I think Timeline does a fantastic job of allowing you to tell a chronological story. And hitting off the point that you were just talking about in terms of brand pages, I'm really looking forward to it because it's going to force brands to understand how to tell a chronological story, and it's going to start to separate some of these brands, especially in the automotive space, who feel that, you know, posting name something that blows in the wind every day, or name an actress that starts with the letter B, or what's your favorite candy bar, probably isn't going to succeed in the entire story of the brand. And it's going to force us to become better storytellers, and it's going to start separating the wheat from the chaff, and it's going to improve the usability and the user experience of all of us and the people who follow our brands.
One of the negatives people have is they say timelines are privacy breach, but what people don't understand is if you don't want people to see certain stuff, then you shouldn't share it with the world. And I don't think everyone, all Facebook users really understand, you know, the privacy filters. You know, if you only want to send something to friends, you click just friends. And I think a lot of people might have been, you know, sending stuff publicly, and then they're upset that people might find this stuff when it was their fault in the first place that they shared the stuff.
Yeah, and you know who I really feel bad for? And I'm sure someone's coined this term, so I don't have to take credit. But we're this generation is going to be known as the public generation. You know, my brother just recently had a kid, and he's uploaded probably, God love him, 50, 60 photos of his child online. Now, this child has no idea what is going on. And when she grows up and she understands the concept of privacy and she goes and searches her name, she's going to have a litany of photography about her all the way growing up until she's able to are allowed to have a Facebook account. Now, how is that fair? And I don't think people have thought about that. And there's a lot of people talking about this, so I'm not the only one. But, you know, who are we to say we talk about our own privacy? We're overstepping our bounds for the privacy of our children. We're not even getting their consent to publish their stuff online.
Being a woman, so it's slightly different. I've always still been told my entire life, you know, you don't use your real name, you don't say when you're alone, you don't do all of these things. It was all ingrained in me, so I've always been conscious of it. I also have a very unique name now that I'm married, before I was a Smith. And so I have never, since I started blogging, ever lived under the presumption that I cannot be found. I try to be aware that everything that I post is a cut and paste from either being entirely public or easily found.